All right. I'm glad that you all are still with us. Our guest is Ms. Darlene Lancer, for those of you just now joining us. And she's talking with us about a major relationship problem. It has to do with narcissism. And Darlene, you're doing an outstanding job of sharing with us some of the symptoms of narcissism.
Yes, so you mentioned these sexual fantasies. That's actually a subtype. There's different types of narcissists, according to one psychologist, Theodore Millian, classified several types. But there's something called an amorous narcissist. And that's like your Don Juan personality or a woman, Mata Hari, and they're can be very seductive, and they use charm. They might have a lot of sexual conquest, who they exploit, and then they discard. But again, it's never enough. So they get bored with one person after the conquest, and then they need another conquest to boost their ego.
So what role would adultery play in something like this?
It would, if they could commit. I mean, some narcissists can't sustain a relationship, and to them, relationships and love is more like a game. There's some research, actually, on this, about whether, you know, relationships, and they can bring somebody in, pull someone in with seduction and compliments, and if they have money, they shower gifts on the person. But it's all for the goal of snaring someone in, and it's kind of a game. And then, but they're not really committed to the person. It's for pleasure and for fun. And but the person, someone else could fall in love with them pretty hard. And then if they get dumped, it's very painful. There's something called love bombing.
Hmm.
And you don't have to be a narcissist to do that, but that's an example of someone who is very seductive and charming and pours out all this love, and is the idea they bomb their date with all this attention, but then they pull it away. And then their person is, they might break up or their personality change, and then they just leave their partner bereft, doesn't even know what happened. Who was that person that I fell in love with, suddenly left or changed? And I've had many clients who had to go through the trauma of that, and it's very traumatic to them because they had this, maybe their partner proposed to them and was talking about getting married or having children. And then they suddenly lose interest or change their mind or find someone else, whatever.
And you were mentioning that part of the problem is the narcissist has a difficult time committing.
That type of certain types of, I mean, there are narcissists that marry and have long-term marriages too.
Interesting.
But
okay.
There's different types. So, yeah.
So that's part of it. So what are some other general traits, symptoms that we would notice?
Right. So that grandiosity, whether in actuality or in fantasy, is one of the a need for admiration. Those are some of the core symptoms. Another one is lack of empathy. So they're not able to empathize with someone else's emotions. Now, narcissists can be very good at reading people. So they have, not all, but often they have a high emotional IQ.
Interesting.
But that doesn't mean that they want to get in touch with their feelings. Often they think feelings make them look weak. They don't want to be vulnerable. They don't, even though they're so needy of attention and admiration, they have disdain for anything they consider as weak, needy. To them, they idealize power and being strong. And so they could feel disdain and contempt even for a partner pleading with them, asking them to show more feelings. That's not the way to get your needs met with a narcissist. They don't want to show feelings. That's the last thing they want to do. But they could have a high emotional IQ, which helps them to read you and manipulate you. You see? So it's an interesting combination. But they're not aware of their impact or how they, they're not good at understanding emotions, except like how it serves them.
Hmm.
Not how it, how they, their behavior and words impact you.
And that seems to be one of the ironies of it. You mentioned that they really are just out of touch when it comes to how their words and behaviors impact us. But at the same time, you mentioned a little earlier that they can be super sensitive themselves to if they think that somebody has done or said something that they may find offensive.
Exactly. They can dish it, but they can't take it.
Interesting.
So the other, another core symptom would be that they can exploit people. So they take advantage of others. And the reason often that they do this, and that varies in degree to somebody who's very, uses people very consciously and manipulative. All these symptoms are on a scale from minimal to a lot. So they can't really see people as separate from themselves. That's the whole point of the myth of looking in the water, and he doesn't even realize it's his reflection. So when narcissists are one of their most prevalent defenses to protect their ego and their fragile identity is they project themselves onto others. In other words, when they make a comment about someone, they don't realize they're looking in, like narcissists, looking in the water and seeing themselves. So they project themselves, that's what projection is, onto other people. So they'll criticize other people for their own flaws.
That is so interesting. And so they are, on one level, aware of their flaws. They're just in denial of those flaws. And rather than confess, admit, acknowledge that these are my flaws, they project them to their partner or whoever else and say, these are your flaws.
Well, whether they may not be aware. So that's
interesting.
That's maybe they're so defended that they can't look at themselves, so they may not be conscious of that. They really think that that's why they don't go to therapy. They think the problem is the other person. And many times they will say the other person is lying. The other person is doing all these things, and it's themselves.
Or it's the other person whose perception of what's going on is twisted, distorted.
And it's their own that's distorted.
Interesting.
So the other thing is they want to believe that they're very special. Somehow they're unique. Not only the best, but they can only be understood by special experts. And they should only associate with high-level people. So they want to get into the best club, have the most recognized doctors. I know someone would only go to the very best plastic surgeon, you know, the best.
Interesting.
So they want to have the best, most expensive car, go to the best school, wear the best brands of their clothes. So that's part of it, too. Associate with celebrities, high-status people or institutions. And as I said, they require a lot of admiration. Another thing that you'll notice with narcissists is they have an unreasonable expectation of favorable treatment. And that people should automatically comply with their expectations. This is called a sense of entitlement.
Gotcha.
So combine that with their feeling of specialness.
Yes.
They shouldn't have to wait in line. They should get special treatment. And people should automatically, like, treat them better than everybody else just because of who they are.
And this is something that is there somebody in particular who gets the brunt of that? You know, their children, if they have children, their partner, if they're married, coworkers, who tends to get the brunt of that?
The people closest to them. Because often they're charming to the outside world, and then they come home and they criticize their partner. Criticize their partner, who they fell in love with and first liked and maybe, you know, expressed love to. And after they chip away and find fault and criticize and denigrate them, they don't love them anymore. So then they might have to look outside the marriage because they've put down their partner.
And so this is, at one point, they may have actually truly loved that partner?
Well, again, that's the question. I'm actually wrote a peer-reviewed academic paper on Can a Narcissist Love?
Wow.
It just got published.
Interesting. And it almost seems like the answer is no, I'm not the professional. But it doesn't sound very optimistic with what little bit we know. Our guest is Darlene Lancer. She is talking with us about narcissism. And as we're moving along in the discussion, you know, one of the questions that comes up, and she's already begun to somewhat address, is dealing with narcissists. She shared with us that, man, these people can really drain the people closest to them. How many of you either have had that experience before or maybe having that experience right now? Stay with us. More from Darlene Lancer in just a few.